Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Oh boy, I'm doing a live Why Won't You Date Me Tuesday, May 25th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. My guest was titled Miss Congeniality on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11. You'll never guess, it's Nina West. We're going to chat. We're going to do an audience Q&A at the end. And listen, if you can't make the live show, the broadcast will be available for up to a week later to watch. Check the episode notes for the ticket link or check the link in my dang bio. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single. Even though you could take me up in a hot air balloon and push me out, I would still date you. My guest today, oh boy, I'm very excited. You've seen him on Black Monday. You've heard his voice on Big Mouth. You've seen him in Veep, fresh off the boat. Oh boy, he's got podcasts, Unspooled, How Did This Get Made? He was the executive producer on a little watch show called Party Over Here. He's the husband to June Diane Raphael. It's Paul Scheer.
I am so excited to be here. What a great introduction. And I want to talk about one thing that you just said immediately, which is you said if someone pushed you out of a hot air balloon, you would still date them. And I once shot something in a hot air balloon, a sketch for Human Giant. And we were up there with a real hot air balloon guy. And we said to him, like, you know, what's the main clientele that you get? And he's like, well, mostly proposals. You know, we normally bring people up here to do that. And we're like, well, what happens if it goes badly? And he goes, oh, it happens a lot more than you think. You know, they get up in a hot air balloon. Now, the thing with a hot air balloon is, like, it really is in control. The wind controls the balloon. It's not like, so he's like, it's so hard because it will go bad. And then I have to figure out how to get us down quickly, but I can't get us down quickly because the balloon, like, we need to land in the right spot. He's like, it's the most panicked I ever am. Cause I'm also supposed to not be there. Like, he's like, I try to blend into the background and it's a basket that is maybe like 2 feet by 4 feet. So you can't really hide. And so he's like, but he tries to make himself real small. Like, the idea of that moment, like, it doesn't go well. And then the balloon guy, like, there's a field. We can get that field right now.
That's so funny to think about. I guess people never think past I'm proposing. Yeah. Like, well, if you do a public proposal, you're involving somebody else.
Oh, it's a lot. And I know that there's, like, people who hire, like, these photographers to go, like, take pictures of them while they do it. I'm glad I didn't do that for my proposal because, like, I think what I realized with proposing is it should be, well, okay, for me, I liked it that it was a private moment, right? Because I don't want to make a big grand statement, because it's like, I don't need to bring everybody in on that. Like, I'll have a party. We'll do all that other stuff. But like in that one moment, you are making a giant commitment. You're saying something like, I don't need everyone to pop out of the bushes with champagne. Like, I want to celebrate with the person that I'm with. And when I did it with June, I always know with June and my time dating her and everything being with her that I can't get her to a second location. Like, it's never like dinner and a movie. It's like dinner or a movie. And so we really lucked out right before quarantine started, where we found places that served dinner and a movie at the same time. So the whole day that I knew I was going to propose, I was like, we're going to go to this dinner at this great restaurant. And, oh, you know what? On the way back home, I want to stop at this one spot. And I knew I had to seed that early in the day, because if I was had any attempt at getting her to the second location, I really needed to like make sure that it was not a surprise. And, you know, as it turned out, we had our dinner. And then I was like, oh, I really want to bring you to this place. And she was like, oh, I'm tired. I knew. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, well, please, come on, come on. And we go. And it was this beach at night. And what happens at this beach at night was like, there's like all these like giant bonfires. It was really beautiful. And we found our own little nook and cranny away from a lot of people. And I asked June to propose, which is a whole story. But that at the end.
Well, tell it.
All right.
Come all right, on. All right, give me the dirt. Give me the right, juice.
So I guess I may have, here's the thing. We were not one of those couples that like talked about getting married before we did it. We were not one of those couples that like went and picked out a ring. Like I know that a lot of couples are like, this is the ring I want. If you ever going to do it, like do it with this ring. I woke up one morning and we had been going out for a long time. And I was like, I think I want to like marry June. And I never really had that thought in my head. Like not in the sense of like, I did not think, I just, you know, it felt like really organic. And I remember thinking to myself, like, all right, I love this feeling. I'm into this feeling. Let me give it a month and let me see where I am in a month. And like,
a
I don't
month?
Know a month and like see where I'm at. And, you know, and a month passes and I feel the exact same way. And maybe even then that month, like looking at it and being more confident in my decision. And I start, you know, and I start going looking for a ring and I do this whole thing. And in many respects, very much without June as part of the equation, and so when I brought her down to this beach, I proposed to her and her reaction to me was anger. Anger, and she was like, what the fuck are you doing? She's watching me right now. She's watching me tell the story in the other room looking. But she was angry at me, thought it was a bit, because I had done...
Never, not once.
Okay, as she said over here, she said, I never brought up marriage, not even once. And I think what made it worse was, you want to come and just like pop in and just say... All right, so she's listening. She's gonna.
She goes, I'm listening.
She said, I never brought up marriage, which I think what made it worse for you, June, was that you had lunch with your friends that week and you literally said to your friends, like, I don't think we're going to get married.
Yes, and every time I brought up marriage, you said, you weren't into it. You said a number of times.
This is not true. She said that I said a number of times I was not into marriage. I didn't say that. I just didn't, you know, look, I didn't know if it was a necessary part of the equation. But I wasn't like against marriage. It was not against, you want to come, you want to stand far away. It's an audio podcast.
Tell June to come on over.
Just come on. You're not going to be on camera. Yeah, there you go.
Is that Nicole?
Yeah.
Nicole.
It's me. Hi, June.
Hi, my love. I am doing some just like light fact checking.
Okay.
From the other room.
I like it. I love it. I want to hear your side of this now.
Well, I know I'm not a guest, but I just kind of come in real quick and say, because I do feel like I have to justify my reaction. I genuinely, like, just please know, Nicole, that he had never once, not a single time, we had been together for 6 years, not a single time had
six
brought up,
years,
thank
Paul.
You, 6 years, had come never on. Brought up wanting to be married.
That's not true.
When it, babe, it went, so I, when I say I was stunned.
We talked about having kids.
Yes, but I thought we were going to be like a Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell type.
Okay, got it.
You know, which I had like reconciled. And so I was really, and I was much more positive about the idea. And he had never, not once, said it was something he was interested in. So please just know that when you hear what my reaction was, because I was genuinely
how do you remember
he was doing
it?
A bit.
How do you? Yeah. How do you? You
and then my anger was like, my anger was honestly like, I felt that he had left me out.
I feel like this is a valid reaction. I would also, in 6 years, if somebody never mentioned marriage, I'd be like, great, we're not going to do that. And then they proposed, I'd be like, well, go fuck you. This is not
absolutely.
It. Fuck you very much.
Absolutely. And I felt very angry.
Do you remember how you reacted?
Yes, I was yelling at you and screaming at you, and I was mad, mad, mad.
I popped up from my on bended knee because it seemed like it was going south real quick. I felt like I was in that hot air balloon.
And now I feel badly, but I'm like, but at the same time, and he said something beautiful that night, which was like, I definitely wanted to do this gesture, but from here on out, we make every decision together. Because I felt like I was not a part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it felt very strange.
And I got
to
say, though, here's the thing. And for all your listeners who are out there who have done this, it's no slight on you. I just didn't want to do that thing where we agree that I'm going to ask you. Then we look at the ring together and then I like drop it on you at some point. I think that's a little like, I wanted a little bit of that surprise. Now,
was it a surprise?
I did.
Why?
I did ask her dad. I did all the traditional.
Oh, that's cute.
That was.
But
was
truly, it seemed like it was all behind your back.
It was.
But that's how it's supposed to be, right? Isn't that the thing? It's not like I bought a house or used her credit cards.
I felt betrayed.
And that's how you're supposed to start holy matrimony, by being betrayed.
Exactly. The feeling of betrayal and upsetment. Okay, Nicole, I love you. Be well.
I love you.
I've got one ear on this conversation, so I'll come in again if I have to.
Yeah, I should pop in.
If I have to. I love it. Thank you, June.
So when we were on the beach and then that the initial like response kind of subsided, we did kiss and we were like, just, you know, there in this moment of like a little bliss. And all I hear is this voice from the distance, get a room. And it was like a 12-year-old kid on a sand dune, like watching this whole thing. We never saw him, like, but he was like, watch the whole thing happen. Get a room. And it was the best ending of that night's proposal, of just like having that kid underscore. And that is why I think, by the way, also June's reaction is why I believe that everyone should do it privately. Because actually, I think we were able to reconcile all these things. And we actually had a really nice night. And we took like that night into, I think, like maybe the midpoint of the next day before we even told anybody. And that was kind of great. Like we had like our time to do it. And I feel like that's my word of advice to anybody out there that is planning on getting married. And take a long shot. You know, maybe the ring won't be perfect. You can always switch it back. You can figure out the
get
return
a new
policies.
Ring. Yeah, it's not a permanent thing.
Yeah, but it's
nice. Did you have to get a new ring?
No, she liked my ring. She liked it very, very much. She liked it very, very much. And it was stolen recently right off her hand while
Wait,
she was
how?
Shooting.
What?
She was shooting a movie, long shot, that, and they were shooting, I forget, I feel like they were shooting in Colombia. I could be wrong. They were shooting in some area that was far away, and she was getting on a boat, and some man who was helping her get on the boat, like, oh, let me help you. I'll hold your hand as you get on the boat. And in that moment, just whoosh, pulled that ring right off. And so then I had to go. And so what I did, here's another thing that I did in secret. She told me that she was so upset about it. So the minute I hung up the phone with her, I frantically called the place where I bought the ring. And I was like, can I find it? And then now the place that I bought it, they had closed down, but there was another one in Texas and I found it. And they're like, well, we have this one, but we don't, it's not the exact same style. But then we searched for it. I found it. I got it shipped to me. I got the ring and I was able to give her a plussed up version of the ring I got her. It's still like, it's better, but it is the same ring. Yeah.
I love that. That's so sweet that you did that. And honestly, it's good advice for anyone who wants a different ring but doesn't know how to tell their partner.
Amen.
Have someone in Colombia steal it.
Right off your finger. But by the way, that's why I don't actually travel a lot with my wedding ring on. She didn't realize it was happening at the time. Maybe she's stunning. She realized he gave her a firm grip. I mean, not these are details that I feel like I covered.
I think I knew it was happening.
Well, okay, yeah. I don't think I was alluding to the fact that you understood you're getting robbed.
How did you guys meet? Because you guys fit together so well.
We do. I love her so much. We met at the UCB Theater, which was in New York City at the time. Well, it still is in New York City. She was coming out of NYU. She had done this really hilarious show at NYU that Owen Burke, the artistic director, had seen there. They were both in classes, taking classes, but this show was like the talk of the town, her and Casey Wilson. And they came over to UCB, and they were asking some of the people in the comedy community to kind of watch and just give them notes, because they were coming more mm-hmm. from – they just done a really funny show out of NYU, and then mm-hmm. they were going to go to the Aspen Comedy Festival. So I had seen their show, and I went backstage to give – notes or thoughts or whatever, or just say hi, actually. That was actually it, because I was going to go have lunch with them to give them some thoughts. And June completely gave me just blew me off, like really was not even rude, just like had no time to even just a nice greeting. Like I was invited there to do this. It wasn't like I was like, let me give you some notes, right? So she kind of blew me off. So I had a nice relationship with Casey there, but then we went out to lunch, and we had both kind of gotten out of these long-term relationships, and we were being single for the first time. And I think at that point, maybe June was in the middle of like a kind of a short-term relationship. I think I was kind of playing it when I talked to her a little bit more loose, because I kind of liked her, but I didn't know mm-hmm. where I should be saying I was. And then that kind of developed into like a year-long back and forth where it was very like New York City-esque, which I love. Like we would see each other at parties, and then we would go leave the party and then go get dinner and hang mm-hmm. out, and then, you know, stay out until all hours of the night, but then like not kiss or anything like that. But then like, I think we were both leaving going like, oh, but we were also dating people too. So it wasn't like we weren't doing anything weird. We were just kind of like, mm-hmm. we kept on meshing, and we lived very close to each other, or we grew up very close to each other. We were friends. June's saying we were friends. We were friends. We were friends. And so it just kind of grew organically. And then there came a point where we both weren't dating anybody. And then it just kind of, it worked out. Although, let me tell you this, Nicole, this okay. is the worst. This is the worst part of the story. And I'm sorry. I feel like I've not let you really even ask a question yet.
It's okay. I just like hearing about it. One of my favorite things is listening to someone talk about their partner that they really love.
Oh,
because it radiates, and you're like, it just I haven't stopped smiling. Like I like hearing about it.
Well, I enjoy telling it. So June and I were in this zone where we couldn't quite just figure out like what we were, right? And mm-hmm. it was sort of like, because it was a little bit more than friends, but it wasn't in a way, you know, what it was just a weird middle ground. So we decide to go out to dinner. Like, let's go out to dinner. And it felt like that was going to be a little bit more of a date. We're going to go out to dinner, and we're going dancing at this place called Don Hills, which was like this dance club, like they did an 80s night or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And we went out to dinner, and we were having a great time. Like, it was like, oh, this is working. This is not like after a night out. Like, we made an intentional plan. We're having a great time. It's really working out great. And then my friend, who was dating one of her friends, mm-hmm. they both came in because they were going to join us for dancing. They were drunk. They were like happy hour drunk. Mm-hmm. And they came down, changed the whole mood, right? Because all of a sudden, like, we're having this like sweet romantic kind of time. And then they're like, whoa, let's party.
And then two drunk people. Yeah.
So we're like, okay. And then we kind of get on that zone, and we go to this dance club, and we are having fun. We're actually having fun. Like, we're dancing, we're doing everything. And then what happens here is, this is how I see it. My friend comes back to me and is like, hey, just so you know, she's not really into you. She likes you as a friend, but that's about it. And I was like, Oh, oh. And it was like a Nicole, it was like a dagger that like went through, like, because like, imagine like having the best date and then be like, no, everything that you've felt is not, it's a tease right now. I was like, oh, and I got like, it just gutted me. Here she's standing over my shoulder again. I see the eyes watching. Well, but yeah, but it's not your fault. So I feel gutted. If you want to just, I mean, the standing over my shoulder is making me nervous. Okay. So I feel gutted here. And here's the moment that was a good moment for me, which was I made a very conscious decision. I said, you know what? I'm having such a good time tonight and I'm having such a good time with her. My normal instinct would be to go home. I would be like, pack my shit, get out of here. I'm embarrassed myself. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm done. And I didn't. I was like, you know what? I had this like moment of zen where I was like, this is fun. I'm having a good time. Okay. She didn't like me, but you know what? This is fun. Why would I leave something that is fun? And I continued to dance with her and we had a great time. And there was no energy that was like, oh, she's not into me. But there was, but I was just, and I just kind of went with it. And then we walked home and that was the night that we had our first kiss. And I was shocked because when it all went down, I was like, wait, what's going, wait, I hold on, because I had already adjusted myself to this new reality. So then it took us a while to connect our stories and find out that our two friends went to the bathroom. They were both playing coy for both of us. So she was like, does he like her? And she was like, I don't know. Does she like him? I don't know. I think they're like friends. So they both screwed us over because they both knew that we both liked each other, but they were trying to hold their cards close. So they basically sent us both signals that we were not interested in each other.
And Wait a minute. Are you still friends with these people?
We are. We are. And I think it's, I know, I think, but I don't think it was done intentionally with malice. I think it's like one of those things where, hey, look, you're younger and you feel like, oh, I don't want to reveal my friend as being into somebody. But if I would have went home, it would have been, I would never have reached out to June again, really. I would have just, you know, but I stuck it through and she stuck it through and we walked home together. I'm so glad we did because that really then, I mean, it made it more confusing because I was like, well, what does this mean? And I didn't want to, yeah, that was like, it was a pregnant pause and then we kind of figured it all out. But yeah, that was a real, that was a tough moment. We got through that moment. Both those people were at our wedding. So they did come
to
our wedding.
They shouldn't have been. I would have been like, the wedding might not have happened because of you people.
I know, but isn't it funny like how that kind of stuff can happen? Like you, because you can, I think you're so vulnerable when you are dating and you don't want to like open yourself up too much because I think maybe it's a high school thing. Maybe it's like a middle age thing or I mean a middle school thing where you're like, if she knows I like her, I'm weak or I'm this or, you know, and you feel like you're so vulnerable. And I feel like your friends do that. Like they do kind of like get in the way or build you up or take you out. Like, well, don't, who cares? Don't do it. Like they can almost talk you out of a good relationship because they're protecting you from being too vulnerable, I think, or some level, something like that. I don't know.
I think that makes sense. I'm the opposite. I'm like, ugh. You seem to like me. Great. I love you. Whether I actually like them or not, I'm like, okay, you like me. This is good for me. Wait, how long have you guys been together total?
I think we're like at total like over 15 years.
That's such a nice long time.
Yeah, it's a long, long time. Like, we dated for 6. We've been married for 10. Yeah, we had our 10-year anniversary last year. This year is our 11th year. Yeah, so like, yeah, 15, 16 years. We just had our anniversary of our first date in January. So like, we have all these like little, I mean, we didn't either of us acknowledge it. It's in our calendar. And I heard June acknowledge it to somebody else, but we didn't acknowledge it to each other. But yeah, we did like a nice thing for our 10-year anniversary. It's pretty amazing. And I think I got into trouble with this because I was talking to somebody about like love and the whole idea of like what love is. And I think like, I think there's like three or I don't know, three, like there's a stage of love where it is like that lust. Like when you're first like into somebody, we're just like, I want to fuck. I want to like have fun. I want to like, this is the person like, and that is awesome. And that will fade ultimately, however long. I mean, you know, and then you have to go a little bit deeper, right? You have to be like, well, what else is here? Because we have to continue and you can have that kind of big attraction and then it's got to dwindle down. And it's so funny because we were talking about like, the relationships that make the biggest impact on you. Like sometimes, you know, it's sort of like, well, I wouldn't compare the love that I have with June to something that was like a fleeting thing, but sometimes those fleeting things can hold like a very strong part in your memory. Like, I don't know if you've ever like had like a hookup or had a very short term thing, but you're like, oh, in my pantheon of relationships, that one is above the other ones. And I was trying to figure out like what that is, because obviously nothing tops June, but there are these things that you look at your career of dating. You're like, oh, right. There were these things, and it's all different lengths. Like sometimes a long relationship I was in, I wouldn't put in that pantheon. Oddly enough.
Interesting. You know,
yeah. It's sort of like, I think, a way it makes you feel or something like that. I don't know.
Are you a serial monogamist? Do you go from relationship to relationship?
Ish.
Or did you?
Did I? Like, I guess, I mean, it's been so long. I definitely dated, I would have like, I think about a year break in between like a long relationship. But then I was in, like, I think I am very selective about who I like, because I think I see it, and this is so, I don't mean to see it like this, but I feel like I see it almost like a chess game in a way. Like, I'm like looking at it too analytically. So I'm not like into a super casual thing. Like, I've, and like, I'm like, oh, I don't like that person. That thing rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. I can't do it. And it's not like, it's a myriad of different factors, but I feel like between my long-term relationship that I was in for a while, and then before dating June, I definitely was like a lot more, I'm going to date and it'll be fun. And it was fun, but it was like, it was a little bit unfulfilling, honestly. That's for me, again, it was like a little bit like, okay, it was fine. But it wasn't like, I was like, oh, I didn't really, there wasn't anybody in there that was like, that made me like, be like, oh, I want, like, and I guess what I felt like in that time was I felt people like sometimes being like, oh, I want this to be more than what it is. And that was really hard for me. So I feel like that was made me like back off, because I was like, I don't know. I felt like bad, like I was giving out wrong signals or something like that. And I don't know how to like, I don't know how to hold that back, or I don't know. I was like, we're having fun, but I'm not like, I mean, I don't want to be like that typical guy who's like, oh yeah, this is like, you know, but I'm like, but that was, I just, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't fully in. So I feel like I kind of like, I tried to make myself more casual because I didn't want to give people wrong signals. Does that make sense? I don't know.
That does make sense. I'm very much like, I don't like casual things. I would prefer if after the second date of someone was like, I don't see this going anywhere, to just be like, Nicole, I don't see this going anywhere. We can hang out
too.
And fuck, or like we could be done depending on like what you need. But people don't talk like that. And I wish they did.
We need it. Like, who are we protecting? That's exactly how I feel. Like, honestly, like that, like I went on a lot of like one or two dates, and it was like, and some people I'm friends with still to this day, and it was great, and it's great. And but you're right. Like, I think that there also needs to be like that, like a clearer delineation of like the fuck buddy relationship role. And I think people are so like, you really need two cool people to agree on that. You know, like you know, it's like, you, like it's like an honesty that needs to be there and be like, this is what we have agreed to. Let's go. But I don't know. I feel like everyone's always going to get hurt. Again, I've been out of the game for so long. It's even crazy that I'm like trying to even analyze dating. I'm like,
yeah, you've missed out on all of the apps.
I know.
And let me tell you, Paul, you're not really missing anything. They're hard to navigate and everyone is bad.
Well, here's the thing. I'm obsessed with it. Like, I'm obsessed with, and again, because I don't have to be on it. I'm not looking for anything on it, but I'm like, all right, so there's that one app called like Raya. I don't know if you're on Raya, right? But Raya is like, I guess was billed as like the celebrity app or whatever, you know, it's like, and I would look at people's like Raya profiles and they all have to pick a song. It's like Instagram, but you have to pick a song. And it's like, what's the song that you have? And what's the picture that you have? And are you shirtless? And are you like showing your best life? And I'm like, I want to go so deep in that. Like, I love that. Like, I'm like, I want to just voyeuristically look at that, and not even to make fun. I'm just like, what are people putting out there? And like, what are these conversations like? Because it's so cold. I mean, it's like cold calling. It's like when you call up for like a political candidate or something like that. Like, but now for, as a woman, are you just getting like, is it just like an immediate, like you're like creep, what's the creep to like, okay, interesting conversation ratio?
Interesting conversations happen, I would say, very rarely. Like, 1 out of 10 people will have something interesting to say. Okay. A lot of it is like, how's your week been? What are your plans for the weekend? and people have not adjusted it since COVID. And I'm like, my week was boring. The weekend will be more of yesterday. Like, we're not anything.
What do you think the secret is? Like, do you think that you need to come in like almost like the game? I don't know if you know the game, like the game, like that guy who, you know, you game
that
women.
That man who wore a fedora and told peacocking. You to neg women, like fucking insult them and they'll love you.
I think here's where I think that guy is right. Not in the insulting women, but I think he's right in the idea of there's something I read in that book because we did a sketch on it on Human Giant and I got obsessed with him too. I'm obsessed and I watched the show Pickup Artists on VH1. It was great. but I thought there was something great. Like he said that there was you would go up to a girl at a bar and say, oh my God, do you see that fight outside? And the girl would be like, oh no. And he's like, oh, it's crazy. There's two guys, this guy. And it was like, so you initiate a conversation with some, I mean, yes, it's a lie. But it gets you into something. Like, so I guess in my mind, it would be like, and I'm trying to figure out the non-dickish way of doing it, but like, I can't ask you what your week is going to be. Like, I'm not going to ask what your weekend is, but I'm going to be like, hey, look, I just want to ask you, I can't date you unless you like adventures in babysitting or like, you know, like, like, you know, like some sort of a bold, at least is engaging you on some level. Like you can come back to that on some, you know, I don't know. Is that wrong? Am I being totally off base or like, I don't know, like what the way to, how do you get in?
No, I think that's interesting to be like, we can go out, but you have to like this movie. I'd be like, oh, that's fun. That's right. A unique way to do it. For a hot second on Bumble, because the lady has to initiate, I was asking people weird questions like, would you rather turn into a potato at midnight or like ride a giraffe for 6 hours every Saturday?
By the way, that's what I'm talking about. Like that, yes. So that, like, that is like, but by the way, because it's something to like, you can see a personality on you and the other person, the way they respond. And it's like, that's all you want, right? I think.
Yes. But I will tell you, people would respond. They would make these weird questions so boring.
Ugh.
So boring. Aye. Because for me, if someone was like, would you want to ride a giraffe for 6 hours every Saturday or turn into a potato at night? I would be like, well, what are the rules of the potato? Do I have a roommate?
Yeah.
Can the roommate eat me? Do I have to travel to the giraffe? I'd be like, give me, like, it would turn into a conversation.
Yeah, it's a conversation starter. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would initiate that way. I always thought that was the interesting part. Like, you initiate in a way that, like, is not just like, how is your day, right? Because it's never going to be good. It's the same thing with real conversations. It's like you get stuck in like parties, but you've been such a long time. But
remember a party? Oh boy.
But like you do have to like work that beginning really hard. I think, you know, and I think, you know, it's like, and I think you have to like find some reason to like connect. And I feel like people are too, like, what do they want you to say? Like, oh yeah, this weekend I'm going, like you have to, it puts it all on you. It gives you nothing. It gives you nothing. Like they give you nothing about themselves. Yeah. So that, but it's interesting how like, I feel like there's a lot of sad sacks on these things too.
I also think a lot of people are sad. I think people are more sad in general, just in this world, than they care to admit.
Yes. And don't you think that this has brought this out in a way? Like, I feel like people are almost okay with their sadness. But I also think that like people are, again, talking about that vulnerability thing. I remember my sister-in-law told me this story and she found this guy on a dating site and they're talking and she's like, well, do you have any like dream? They were out. They had progressed their relationships. She's like, do you have any dreams or, you know, things you want to accomplish in life? And he said, oh man, you know, sometimes I just sit in my car and I pretend like I'm Spider-Man and I would be like, how cool would it be if I had like webs and I would just be able to swing over traffic. And she's like, oh, so you want to get out of traffic? He's like, yeah, it would be so cool to be able to swing over traffic. And I was like, and that to me like sums up internet dating. I was like, your dream is to just get out of traffic as Spider-Man. Not like I want to be Spider-Man, because that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's got its whole other Pandora's box of issues. But I just want to be Spider-Man to get home quicker. Out of
That's
traffic.
Very funny. I just want to be Spider-Man, you know? Tired of sitting in my car. I don't like red lights. Yeah. But then I would truly be like, that doesn't, what are you going to like web your car with you? You're just going to leave your car in the traffic? Sir, this is a very bad dream. It is flawed.
It's like, but if anyone ever asked you, like, what's your dream? It's my dream? That's my dream?
It's like, well, my dream, I guess, is to get a solid 8 hours of sleep. What's yours?
Well, let me ask you a question, because I love the show. I think you are absolutely fantastic as a human being. Forget you as like a personality and comedian, because we all know that. You got that locked up. We don't have to worry about that. But I'm saying, as far as like, why won't people date you?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you two questions.
Yes.
First of all, do you find that, unfortunately, the world that you are in, it's tricky, right? Because you are in a comedy world, an acting world, and we see the same people a lot of the time. So mm-hmm. there's an energy of like, I don't want to really date inside this thing, or I have dated it. Like, so kind of like automatically, a lot of your social hangs involve the same. It's hard mm-hmm. to get new people in that ecosystem.
Yes.
So with that being said, would you ever do, and I've heard about this and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I would have done that if I was single. Group dating, where it's like 15 people and you're all going roller skating, or 15 people and you're all mm-hmm. going bowling. So you're all single. No one is putting a match together for you, uh-huh. but you're all doing this thing. You're going to learn karate. You're all going to do wine tasting. You're going to do whatever the group activity was. I think for my other sister-in-law, it was like bowling night. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, and they had some way to switch it up, so you're playing with a bunch of different people throughout the whole night. Would you do something like that?
So it's kind of like speed dating, just like updated.
Yeah, because it's like, but like without the pressure of speed dating. Because speed dating is mm-hmm. like, I'm connecting with you. Like, this is a casual. Like, oh, you said something funny here. It wasn't even necessarily towards me, but I like that. Or like, you can kind of figure out who you want to approach or mm-hmm. pull away from. And there's no one there trying to either reject you or put, you know, it's like, hey, this is like, it creates like a fake ecosystem. It like stocks the pond. Would you, I mean, and obviously you're a celebrity and you know, people know you, but would that be something that would be appealing to you?
I don't think so, specifically mm-hmm. because I feel like a group setting with a bunch of people I don't know mm-hmm. is a pressure that I don't ever want to
okay.
put on myself.
I hear that. Okay, that's interesting.
Because
yeah.
like, I guess it's like when I go do shows, it's for a bunch of strangers, mm-hmm. and I go, here's the funniest thoughts I have. I hope you like them. And then it's like, okay, so I'm going to bowl with a group of people I don't know. Well, will I be good at bowling? I'm pretty competitive, so that's going to come out.
Right.
And then I'm like, I need to make these people laugh because I want these strangers to like me. Right. How will I connect with I think it's just like, it's too much.
So how do you, like, ideally, how would you like to meet somebody? Like, what is best way in?
I guess it would be nice if, like, one of these dates from the apps worked out, or if a friend had a friend. I've mm-hmm. never been set up because a lot of my friends are like, well, they're single for a reason. Right. And then, you know, people coming off a divorce, you know, they need a little bit of time. So I think it would be nice if a friend set me up with somebody.
Can I tell you what I've noticed as a straight male in LA? There are a lot of women that I know that are perfect candidates for a girlfriend, a wife, or whatever, a partner, just say partner. Mm-hmm. And the guy quality is not as high, because I feel like the women who are available, like, you don't go, she's single for a reason, but mm-hmm. almost all the guys are like, eh, I don't know. Like, cause June will ask me sometimes, well, what about that person? I'm like, eh, like, you know, it's like there is an energy sometimes when you get past a 40 something and you have not locked it down on some level, like that you have to be, and I know you're not that, I'm just saying, but on a guy's side, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous, mm-hmm. it's because it's also like, then you're almost having to like reinvent them, because they're like so stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
That then you're like, oh, well, now I'm fucked here too. I gotta like, you gotta do so much work. It's too much work. I feel like there needs to be a better way for women to find good men. And I feel like LA is not the spot. I feel like good men get, I guess, I think good men get eaten up a lot quicker than women. And that's obviously in a heterosexual relationship. I don't know how mm-hmm. it goes in the other way, but that's what I've noticed.
I don't really know how it goes in the other way either. But I do feel like women have been taught and conditioned to be like, get married young, have kids, you gotta find a man. And then men are taught to be like, you can do that, or you can play the field and have a very nice time. You could fuck whoever you want and nobody's gonna care. You're gonna be like a stallion or whatever they call gentlemen who fuck. And then it's like, you're a slut. You sleep around, you fucking slut.
Right. Yeah. Although I have to say, I've heard some guys who've been called sluts, so too. You get in a certain pond for a little while and people will talk. I will say this. There is, like, you're right. Like, there's this thing, like, I remember this guy. He said to me, like, I was dating June early on and I was moving out to LA. I was in New York and I was moving out to LA. And I had, at this point, I think Human Giant had been on or whatever, Best Week Ever, whatever it was. It was early on in my career. And he was like, I can't believe that you are, like, dating someone right now. Like, don't you want to, like, go out to LA and, like, date a young starlet? Mm-hmm. And the thought of that was, like, so, like, weirdly gross to me. I was like, ooh, like, mm-hmm. Do I want to date this thing that doesn't, like, what is that? It's like, I don't, like, it's not like, you, like, oh, no, you would give up the person that you actually have a connection with. That you're like, you know, it's not like, oh, wouldn't you like to date this other person that is also really cool and does all this?
No, just this idea of a person.
An idea of, and that, like, that to me was, oh, but I feel like I've heard that conversation so many times. And I've seen two of those people that have talked like that living that life to this day, and they've never dated a young starlet, and only have heard weird stories about them. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't imagine dating anyone because I feel like when people are like, I want to date a young starlet, it's like, I want to date someone who's aesthetically pleasing to other people's eyes. I might not even connect with the fucking person, but I just want people to see me with this person, which to me is insane. I guess it's because I'm a fat lady that I'm just like, oh, I guess I don't have a body that is, like, considered desirable to most. So for me, I'm like, maybe someone won't date me because they don't want to be seen with me. But I'm like, I just want to be with someone who's nice and funny and, like, hot to me, which might not be hot to everybody.
But that's what I think everybody is, right? It's like that idea, like, it just needs to be hot to you. But I think there is something interesting also, probably, and you've probably talked about this too, like, about being, like, a female comedian. Like, you, I imagine, on some level are intimidating to people who might know you, right? Know you as this thing, because it's like, oh, she can cut me down. She can do this thing. Do you feel that? Do you feel like there's a little hesitancy on that level ever? Like, that people are nervous to be like, oh, I'm going to be too nerdy for her. I'm going to be not cool enough for her. Yeah.
Well, I've had people, it's either like, they're the funny ones in their relationship. Mm. So, like, we'll have a good conversation and then, like, upmanship, is that it?
Yeah,
a one-upmanship happens where I'll say something funny and they're like, what about this? And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, but also I do improv, so I'm like, if that's true, what else is true? I can, you know, heighten anything to crazy or whatever. So then, and I felt like, it was one guy in particular, I felt like would get mad at me when I said something funnier
that's
than him
hilarious.
For the second time. And then I'd be like, all right, I guess I'd be quiet now? It was just a very tough thing to navigate.
I did a talk show one time. It was like one of my first, you know, things. I was first kind of doing something and it was, you know, a talk show host. And they were like, okay, so you go out there and if you say something funny, that person might respond to you with a funny thing. Don't, whatever you do, don't say something funny after that person has said the funny thing. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. Okay, sure. It was like warning me not to, like, one up, or not one up, but play along. Like, when have you ever been in a conversation where you've even thought about it? Like, I'm not like, okay, how about this? It was just like, well, that's the conversation. We're joking. Like, I just thought that was like a funny warning. Like, do not, if they make a joke, you don't say anything. I was
don't
like,
do it.
Don't
that's
do it.
That's so wild. Real quick, Paul, we have to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy. I think I said, I love you, daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at Babbel.com/DateMe. Get 55% off at Babbel.com/DateMe. Spelled Babbel.com/DateMe. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back.
Yes.
Can I ask? So you live with June. You're married to June. Mm-hmm. You also work with June. You have a podcast together.
Yes.
And you're both in comedy. Mm-hmm. And you both have had very successful careers. At any point, was it hard to work together? And or did you guys get jealous of each other? That's 2 questions.
So no, I'll answer it all. No, it's great. I'm going to say this. It's tricky. It's always going to be tricky in this kind of a field. But I think that as we came up together, right? So I think there are certain points in our career where, you know, maybe June was experiencing a little bit more success than I was. And then mm-hmm. there were moments where I was experiencing some more success than June was. And now that we've been together for such a long time, it kind of like it kind of almost balanced out to a certain degree, like, you know, on a certain level. I think there will always be a slight, like if I'm being completely honest, like a slight level of like, oh, I wish I was doing this. If you're feeling mm-hmm. in that zone, like, cause we all get in those zones. Like, I'm not working. I haven't done this thing. I got nothing going on. Like, and you can get in that zone where you're literally watching your partner get to do something. And you're in the zone where you're like, ah, it's not clicking for me in this second. So yes, but at the other side of it, we're not going out for the same stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that to me is really the dividing factor. And I was in a relationship before June where we were both in comedy and we both, you know, we did so much together that our relationship became our career. And, mm-hmm. and that I did not like. And that's something I would never recommend to anybody. The podcast that June and I do is so easy. You know, we basically do it in different rooms now in the quarantine of it all. But like, you know, we show up, we get to do it. It's an hour of our week or every other week even. It's not even an every weekly thing. And then it's over. And mm-hmm. so it's not like there's no work there. It's fun. There's no like business side to it. Like, how did this get made? We are all, everyone there is equally important, but I do all the, I do all that other stuff. I do the mini episodes. I do the mm-hmm. research. I do like, so I'm like, so they basically June and Jason just pop in. Do be hilarious and then go. So they like to them. And I think that's part of the why that really works really well is because it's like, it's in, it's gone and we're back to our day. And mm-hmm. we get in June and I get to go away on, if we get to go on tour together, that's really fun because we only get to look a night out. So I'll say that, and I'm going to continue to answer this and say that, you know, I think that when we have worked together, like when we did NTSF on Adult Swim together, I was the boss and she was somebody I cast in the show. And I was aware of her as that, but we were not, again, co-creators. We were not like, mm-hmm. you know, like, and she would come when she had to be on set and leave when she didn't. And, you know, and she, like, we had a respect for each other. So I think to me, the secret of that is not building yourselves together. Like, it's not like, and I'm impressed with people who do, like when I look at like Natasha and Moshe, like I'm like, oh, that's mm-hmm. amazing. They get to go off and do stand up together. And I actually really, it seems like it may actually work really well together. Like they get to do it and they're their own thing. I just feel like if you're writing everything together, if you're doing everything together, like who are mm-hmm. you as a performer and who are you? Cause I think what I love is being able to come home and be like, oh my God, X, Y, and Z, or this person is driving me crazy. And we have separate lives. Like mm-hmm. This morning, I was out on, we were taking a walk. We're on an Airbnb right now. And we were taking a walk and she was telling me about this thing about, she was pitching me this idea that she's been working on. And it felt so great not to be like a collaborator in that idea.
Yeah, like I already know about this and we're like yes. working it out. It's just like, ooh, that's a good idea. I have fresh eyes. I can give you, you know, feedback and notes and whatnot. Yeah.
And I can walk away from it. And so mm-hmm. that, so yes. So long story short, I think you'd be lying to yourself if you said that there's nothing there. But when you're both working and you're both feeling fulfilled, there's no problem. And then I think it's those moments where you like hit a dry spot or like you're like are unhappy mm-hmm. in something and you see somebody else being happy in something. You're like, oh, fuck, I want to do that. I wish I was doing that. I would like to go away on, you know, shoot a movie. So, you know, highs and lows. And I think the hardest thing that we ever kind of went through was because now we have kids. Like we went when June was shooting Long Shot, we went with our amazing nanny and our two kids, and we were in Vancouver, and it was so cold. It was so cold that when you went outside, it would hurt to breathe. I had no friends around. I couldn't perform. We were kind of like locked in this like apartment where the kids were riding bicycles up and down the hallways, the carpeted hallways, because they couldn't go outside. So like that was like hard, and she was basically gone like 14 hours a day, you know, and then, you know, working late on a Friday night and sleeping in until like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Like, so that was like, okay. And then we couldn't do anything. So that felt like very trapped. But that was, I would say that was like the only really like tough time because I felt like I couldn't even like have my outlet of like going to UCB or working and that thing. So like, yeah, so that's a long answer. Would you like to date someone who is in like a comic, a comedian, an actor? Like, do you have any rules?
I think my rule is if I were to date a comedian or an actor, I'd like to date someone who's at the same level as me. Just yes. to eradicate anyone being jealous yeah. or me feeling some type of way. I don't think, I mean, I'm a human. So like, I do think I would be a little bit jealous if someone was a little bit further than me. And
right. You're always going to feel it, but you've also achieved enough right now where you are like a thing, like you are established, mm-hmm. like that's never going to go away. Like you may go higher. By the way, I want to talk to you about this. you are on a show that I'm so excited about. Phil Jackson. I love Phil Jackson. He created this show. And this cast is amazing. It's like you. It's Carl Tart, right? It's Echo is in it too, right?
Yeah.
It's an awesome cast. I'm so excited about this show. But now you are about to go on network. I mean, yes, Nailed It is giant. Nailed It is giant. And I know it. And I know it from being on it and how people recognize me from it. I can only imagine what you get. But you are now going to be like young Sheldon. You are out there for the masses. There might be a poster of you in someone's room. Like, what is that? Like, how do you prep for that? Like, because now you're like, are you, I mean, I know it's like putting the cart before the horse, but are you prepping at all? Like, you're going to be a lot more in a public way, even though you already are, but it's more. It's more. It's network TV is more.
It's also a different presentation of myself. Like, it's acting.
Yeah.
So that's different. And acting is like what I love. And I love comedy. I love smart comedy. I love dumb comedy.
Yeah.
And it's got like a mixture of all of that in there. And I love Phil so much. And the cast is like so fun. But no, I haven't really like thought about it. Like, what's going to happen after it comes out, other than I guess I'm just like, ooh, people will see me as an actress.
Right.
And
okay.
I think that's the most exciting thing for me. And I hope more comes from it. I don't know. Network television is such a, it's an elusive thing to me. I've never been
on
a network show as a series regular.
Yeah.
I've done some pilots where the network said, no, we don't want this.
Of course.
But I'm like really fucking excited. I think it's going to be fun.
Well, you are great. In all those creative ways. But I wonder if this podcast is going to get a lot more interesting when that show comes on and it becomes like a thing. Like, you watch these shows and like, however you like, all right, let me ask you this, because I don't know much about the show. I was literally before lockdown, Phil had asked me, he's like, can you come to the table read of this thing? I was like, yep, I'll be there. And then it was like, everything shut down. So, but how are you portrayed on the show? Like, what is your MO?
It's
like,
me.
You know what? Yeah.
Like, my name it's Nikki. It's based on me. It's like,
this is a great thing. You followed the Will Smith model, which is Will Smith said, if you ever do a TV show, name the character after yourself, because no matter what, they're always going to call you by that show. They're always going to remember it. As someone who has been called Andre a million times from the league, I recognize that. So that's already great. You're being called roughly by your same name.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're you, that's an ad for dating.
For what they're going to get.
I think this show could open up doors for you in the dating world to different types of people, like a very different type of person.
I didn't even think about that, because Nailed It truly, it seems as if the people who watch it are children, parents of children, and stoners, people who love smoking the wacky tobacco, love to watch me roll off tables. what would you say, you were a single man, this is an alternate universe, what do you respond the most to? Like, how, like, if a woman hit on you, what would you like the most?
Oh man, that's a great question.
Or do you not like women hitting on you because you like to make the first move?
Oh no, I mean, if you're gonna offer me a woman hitting on me, I will take it.
Okay.
100%. I'm nervous because I never know when I'm reading a signal, when I'm not reading a signal. That was always something that I think I was very bad at when I was single. Like, I was like, because people like, I remember somebody actually said to me many years later, like, oh yeah, I always thought you didn't like me like that. I was like, oh no, I did. I didn't get anything. I never knew. Like, I was a person who needed a lot of verbal confirmation. I was like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to make a move that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Cause all I saw, and this is what I was saying about playing out my chess game in my head, was all the ways it would go badly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would see, like, if I did this, I would go bum, 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 bum. And I'd see the dominoes fall for like a mile. So, no, I think, you know, honestly, everybody they've ever connected with, it is just, I think it's like a fun, what you're describing where someone's getting competitive with you, it's that without the competitiveness.
Yes.
It's like a playful, fun, like we're in each other's face, not in each other's face, but like, you know, like I feel like that energy has always been good for me, where it's a little playful, but it's a, like, I don't want to say rough, But it's not like a I'm not like, oh, hey, how are you? What kind of drink are you having? You know, like that's not my thing is like being out with people and having fun and kind of connecting and finding like a little cove in a conversation. Like, mm-hmm. oh, like we're at a big dinner and then we've like kind of partnered off or we go and we're walking like 2 feet behind. Everybody else is walking. Like those are the people like, cause like, oh, I want to keep on talking to this person. I feel like the people that I've always dated are the people that I want to talk to on the phone with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that is something I don't want to talk on the phone with many people ever. And in this day and age, so like if I want to like continue a conversation and not just make it over text or get butterflies when a text comes in, like mm-hmm. that's when I know, like that's like, these are the things that I look out for, but it is playful. I think playful is the thing I like.
Okay. I could be playful.
I mean, Nicole, you are perfect. Like you, like this is the thing that boggles my mind. You're perfect. Like across the board, this is the bigger mystery than Serial, this show, because it makes no sense.
For a hot second, I thought you meant like cereal you eat, and I was like, there's no mystery, you put milk in it. But I get it, Serial, the podcast. Yeah,
the podcast. Because it's like, I can't figure it out. Like, that's why I think we need to get you out of this pond. I feel mm-hmm. like you are in too small of a pond. I don't think that LA is a great place for dudes. I think that like once you've kind of seen, you have to really wait for somebody special to kind of whoosh, like mm-hmm. drop in. Maybe you're waiting for that divorce to happen, or you're waiting for that year to pass from the divorce. Like you gotta play it in such a different way. It's and everyone's gonna be diving in on that person. That's when we need to expand the thing. Because all right, you're beautiful, you're funny, you're successful, and you're fun. You want to do fun stuff. What else would you want to do?
That's all I ever want to do, fun stuff. I was going to try to import someone from Amsterdam because my friend Michelle Buteau, her husband's from Amsterdam, and she was like, oh, yeah, they love black women over there. And I was like, ooh, okay.
Get on that.
So then I tried to join a dating site in the Netherlands, which I think is where Amsterdam is. I don't know.
Yeah,
I should
right.
first
no,
probably
right.
learn where the place is.
No, that's good. You don't need to. It's a direct flight. Just get on a flight. There you go.
I joined it. I filled out all the things. And then it was like, we need $30 a month. And I was like, but I don't even know if this is legit. I had to translate the page. So then I gave up as quickly as the idea came to me.
I think, look, you're going to get something weird. Because all of a sudden, you're talking about a 90-day fiancé situation.
Yes.
We both know what's going on that show. So I don't want to see you do that. I would like to see you book some shows in the Netherlands and then see what happens. Like, let's do it that way.
Yeah.
Let's do it the right way. Let's not get on this $30 a month thing, because then I don't want to have to watch you on Lifetime, and then after the 90 days, before the 90 days, I don't want to see any of that stuff.
But I just love 90. No, I could never be on 90 Day Fiancé. That show's too wild.
It's wild.
I fucking love it. It's truly a treat to watch these people be lunatics.
But now you also travel around the country.
Yes.
And that doesn't, like, people are not coming up to you after a show?
Not really.
Okay.
For the most part, my audience isn't really like straight men. I used to say I had like 8 straight male fans. I think I have like 12 to 14, because like 3 or 4 have recently DM'd to be like, I'm a straight male fan, and my girlfriend also loves you. People to slide into my DMs to tell me that them as a couple like me, or they love me, but they're a gay man, and I don't have the parts that they want. But I never get dick pics. I used to get dick pics from this one man who had a whole family, which was so strange to me. He would send them, and then I clicked on his little icon, and I was like, wait, you're posting pictures of your family and your wife and how much you love her, but then you're sending me your slightly mediocre dick? Mm. I don't know. Is Nobody slides in my DMs.
Well, first, I have two questions here. Is there any, this is a question I think only, well, I don't know if you can answer it because you maybe don't have enough experience with it. Are there any good dick pics? Is it possible to take a good dick? I don't think that that's a photograph that ever is going to be looking good.
I think a good dick pic is not just the penis.
Okay.
I think it's like a Playgirl or like a nude, like a tasteful nude.
Like that Geraldo Rivera one where he was in the, or what he was going for in that shot.
Was that like
was,
a mirror selfie?
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And
yeah.
He was like, had a lot of muscles, but it was not the right person, but the right post. All right.
Uh-huh.
The other thing was this. I get that all the time with June. I will have so many women tell me that June is their crush. So I am mm-hmm. basically fielding a lot of gay women who are just like, tell your wife that I love her. And I'm like, oh, and I will. I am happy to. But I also feel like they might take me out.
That's funny. That must feel nice to be like, oh, my partner's wanted by so many people and I get to have her.
I got her. But you know what? I think that back to everything, like, you know, it's, we talked about this the other day too. Like the idea, like, yes, it is amazing to be in a great relationship, but it's not easy. And I think that, like, I think that there's like this fat, like this, people are so, I think people get out of relationships because they think, well, it's not fun anymore. It's like, of course it's not fun because the work comes in, and the work is what you need to continue to build. And it gets, not that it gets, it's more fulfilling and it's better. And there are so much fun, so many fun moments in it, but it's not like just an autopilot thing. Like, and I feel like, you know, and I think that like one of the best things about June and I, she's not over my shoulder, but she would, I think, agree to it, is that we can and we do fight. And I think that people who don't fight, I'm always worried about. Why are you not fighting? You're living with this person. You're with this person. You can fight. And you can also fight and not be afraid that you're going to lose this person. Like, you know, and I think that fighting is part of like working issues out, figuring out what's going on, but being respectful of each other. And sometimes maybe you're not. But you have to, I think you have to like dig in, and it gets uncomfortable. And I will say, in the 15 or 16 years we've been together, like there've been patches where you're like, okay, this has been a rough patch. Like, I would even say like, here's like 3 or 4 months that have just been like, okay, fine. I mean, it's like, I don't never stop loving her with all my heart, but it's like, it's not clicking right now. It's just like, it's being a little bit like, okay, we're just getting through, and that's okay. And then it pulls back up. Like, I think your cycles of everything go like through that, you know? And again, it's not, again, 15 years in, like, it's a different level of, like, we're not clicking. It's just sort of like a, you're like, okay, yeah, we're just on each other's case a lot right now. And what is it? And you have to figure out what that is, and then you figure it out, and then you fix it and you move on.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to hear that, like, it is hills and valleys, and that's something to expect. But Paul, we've come to the end. And
oh my gosh.
I ask all my guests this.
Yeah.
Would you date me?
Oh, Nicole, I've already said it. 100%. Come on. There's nothing to debate. I'm now obsessed with finding somebody who can. Look, I think the world is your oyster, honestly.
Do you have single friends?
I told you. No one that you need to be with. honestly, I have to say that my only single friend, I only have one left, I believe. Yeah, is that right? Yeah, one. Holy cow. Jason Mantzoukas, that's it. Has he been on this show?
He hasn't been on this show because, I'm going to tailor a show for him because he was like, I don't really want to talk about my personal dating life. And I was like, that's fine. I've had like 2 episodes where I knew that they didn't really want to talk about their dating life. So I asked like one question and then was hit with an answer that circumvented it. And I was like, all right, cool. So I was like, I'm just going to figure out I'm going to tailor an episode for him because I think he's so funny and so wonderful.
Yeah, he's the best. But again, he's somebody you work with. So it's tricky or some work with occasionally. Nicole, this has been such a pleasure. You're the best.
Thank you.
And
for
if I find
it.
Somebody, I'm going to let you know. But I think this NBC thing is
going to
be.
Is a child crying? Do you got to go?
I feel like this is going to be my exit cue.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'll do the outro by myself. Bye, Paul.
Bye-bye.
If you like that episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like, you can subscribe, you can rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you send me something hitting on me, I'll read it. This person said, hi, Nicole, I've been trying to think of a clever way to hit on you for a while, and I finally got it. I set up a time to meet at your house late at night. My spouse and I will come in the night. Fuck you so good you pass out. You'll wake up in the morning feeling sore between your legs, but not from having a lot of memories from the night before. Uh-oh. You will start to think to yourself, did I just get fucked by ghosts? Okay, maybe not that clever, but I tried. You know, that was, it got a little dicey for me at a set, like a moment where I didn't know what was happening, but then it was ghosts. I get what you were trying to do. I think it's okay. Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream. Ha ha ha.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.